occasion, did you?
No, I didn't see it coming at all.
Well, that's the show, Bruce.
Is that my new theme song?
Yeah. Well, it's not exactly the sun, the moon, and the stars, but I'll take it. You know, I like the song. Bruce, I thought game one, there was three flub goals off skates and the Sherwood broke and all of that. But I thought artistically it was the kind of game that if you're an Oiler fan or observer of the team, you had to walk away going, well, they did a lot of things right. And that's not far from what you want to see again and again and again.
Yeah, they certainly did a lot of things right. I thought the start of the game was exceptionally good, first period, and then a little bit of a slide in the second that we've seen 80 times this year, but really surgically took control of the game again early in the third period and put doubt to rest, even as the final score was a little closer than maybe it should have been.
You watch a lot of hockey, and more importantly for our conversation, you remember a lot of hockey. That goal Leon scored early in the third period, the fifth goal of the game, I just don't know if you can shoot the puck any better or to a perfect spot. That was all world.
Yeah, there's an angle from behind the net that shows, you know, he had this little sliver. I mean, he could see, 4 inches between the two posts from the angle that he was shooting at. Wide enough for a puck. And he put it right into the roof of the net on, just a laser. He's done it before. We've seen shots where he actually had both of his feet below the icing line and way off in the corner like that and still buried. I have a particularly fond memory of a goal he scored in Winnipeg last year where he had to put the net back on its moorings before going over there and beating Hellebuyck from,
I remember that
thing, Chambers, similar spot. And so it's not a first, which is to say it's not a fluke. He knows how to do it. And in fact, I just posted a picture on Twitter from a schematic from my distant cousin, Micah Blake McCurdy, showing Dreisaitl's scoring area. And it's just way down low in the right corner. The further down, the more above average he gets. And it's just a super skill.
For the one person who follows me and not Bruce, I've retweeted that if you want to have a look at it. It is amazing. So I want to get to this because you are the voice of reason, and I think people need to hear it. Stuart Skinner was a big story a year ago. He was pulled in several games, and the goaltending was an issue. Are you seeing more of a calm presence? And I know it's one game, but down the stretch and into last night's or the game the other night, where pucks were going in from Laredo and off of places, I felt that he had his composure. Are you seeing that, or am I making it up?
I am seeing that. And I know I don't think you're making it up. I actually felt a huge sense of relief, Alan, in the last game of the regular season at Colorado, when they showed him taking his place behind the bench for the second period, not because they pulled him but just how calm he looked after getting bombarded for four goals in that first period. And I thought, he does not look even one slightest bit rattled by that. This is good. And last game, the two late goals, that's just hockey gourds doing hockey gourd things. But he was excellent when it mattered. And the save he made off Arvidsson on the breakaway, 20 seconds before Oilers made it 3-0, that was a TSN turning point, if I'm allowed to say that on this station.
Yeah, you are.
that if Arvidsson puts that in there, and it's 2-1 now, game on. And he just got the tiniest little piece of his pad on that and kept it out. And, that was a huge save when it mattered. Whether, he stopped one in the last minute with a 3-goal lead is kind of irrelevant compared to the specific moments that happen within a game in their context.
Sherwood Park, Luke texts in at 833-401-1440. And forevermore, it'll be called Tutti Frutti O' Brucey. So so you know, Bruce, we're heading that direction. I talked at the beginning of the show today about the playoffs being a war of attrition. And For those who forgot, the LA Kings play at the very edge, and then they get in a car and they drive from the edge, way past the edge. And we saw a low cut play on Vincent Desharnais, the giant redwood, and then we also saw a slash on Hyman, and there's probably a lot of things that I didn't see, maybe that you did. This is why getting out to a 2-0 lead tonight, if it happens, especially considering everybody else is at 1-1, would be a massive deal for the Oilers, correct?
Well, yeah, it certainly would be, and the key word there is if. I mean, we saw Winnipeg and Vancouver fans sitting quite confident before last night's games, too, and now they're headed off to foreign soil with home ice advantage no longer in their hands. I mean, this is a massive game tonight, and 2-0 would indeed be a fantastic situation, but it's, 60-plus minutes to determine that. So I'm not trying not to look ahead and just play the game in the moment, and hopefully the team will. I think they're mature enough now that they will do the same.
Yeah, I think, here's the thing about hockey. You can play a great game, and the other team plays a really good game, and then luck can end that, whatever. They could lose tonight playing well. It is possible.
Yes.
But I had Dennis Bernstein on last hour, and he said something that really caught my ear. He said, kudos to Chris Knobloch and his staff. He had them very well prepared. The going back, getting the puck, sending it to a good space, having the forward support. It seemed like they were really ready, and they had tweaked enough, certainly on the power play, where they were doing things that I had not seen before, and the power play lit up the Kings. I mean, it's right now, it's a major, major piece of the storyline in this series. Not that that didn't happen before. I'm not implying that. But it's interesting that the Oilers, who, quite frankly, they looked a little bit ragged on the power play and other areas down the stretch. They showed up with some new plays, some new moves, and that seemed to be a part and parcel of what they rolled out for the playoffs against Los Angeles on whatever night it was.
Yeah, Monday. And it was, they had four power plays. This is, let's remember, second-ranked penalty kill in the NHL, third-best team for goals against. And the Oilers had four power plays. On the first one, they had, I think, five shots on net, at least three of them very dangerous ones, couldn't score. And then the last three power plays, bang, bang, bang. And they wound up 3-4 with 11 shots on net and I think it was 4 minutes and 50 seconds of power play time. And they just shredded the second-best power play in the league. And that's got to be leaving L.A. with huge questions. It'll be interesting to see if how differently they might approach specifically the penalty kill tonight.
That dovetails to my next question, which is I was very interested in seeing the Danault line up against McDavid. They got crushed at 5-on-5, Bruce, and Gavrikov, Roy played, not great, but were better than Anderson Doughty, at least in terms of goal share. Against McDavid. Dennis Bernstein said that he thought that they'd come back because of speed with Dano against McDavid. PLD's in there. Do you see them doing the same thing, or do you see them checking down to Kopitar, or do you see it's going to be a lineup of Dano against McDavid again?
Most likely. I think he's probably their best option, and I mean, he had a tough game one in his line, and that's a very good line historically with Moore and Arvidsson. That's given all kinds of teams trouble. But, I mean, Dano, the last 2 years, 13 playoff games against the Oilers, he was on the ice at 5-on-5 for 4 goals against in 13 games, 1.22 goals against per 60. And then in game one, 3 goals against in, 12, 13 minutes of 5-on-5 play. And it just, it was such a strange game from an LA perspective, particularly, that's renowned for 1-3-1, locking things down. And yet in the end, we had, such a high event game with 72 face-offs, 112 hits, 82 shots on net, 11 goals. I mean, this was insane in terms of high, high event hockey. And you have to think that the Kings, led by guys like Danault, brilliant two-way players like that, would be trying to tamp that down significantly tonight. And I, for one, expect a different game. Not necessarily a different outcome, but I think the game will be quite different.
Bruce, final one. I always like to get your perspective on historic moments. And the good thing is that Connor McDavid playing for the Oilers means there is an historic moment about every 28 minutes. And he got five assists in the playoff game the other night. And that, you know, it's been done before, but it doesn't happen often. And some of the names on the list are they're not super duper stars or all time greats, but they're all impressive hockey players. But it's just one more thing that he has done that we have not seen. And I don't think we ever, you know, gloss over it or don't acknowledge it, but it really does point to the fact that he is in on so many unique historic things in a year. Really does, as a group, sort of give us evidence of how special he is.
Yeah, well, he's the first player in this century to get five assists in the playoff game. The last guy to do it was in 98, ex-Oiler Jeff Cardinal. Of course, the great one did it a couple times in his career, including the first game at the Montreal Forum in the famous 1981 upset, where Guy Lafleur was supposedly going to put Gretzky in his hip pocket. Didn't quite work out that way. And then, less famously, but it should be famous, the night Gretzky broke Jean Béliveau's record for career playoff points, which they were tied at 176. Wayne had six assists in that game, which is the NHL record, tied with one other player. Six assists in the playoff game. So it was another one of his things where he broke two completely independent records in the same game, which we saw several times over the course of his career. But McDavid is, in many respects, the modern Gretzky. Doesn't quite dominate to quite the same degree that the great one does, but, I mean, the numbers that he's put up over the career, he's clearly the top offensive player of the current century, and Edmonton fans again are doubly blessed that at any given night, I used to be afraid to miss a game because you never knew which one was going to be, 10 points or five goals or what have you, and it's like that again now that you know at any time there could be just some kind of insane performance. And, five assists in a playoff game is, that's a pretty good night's work for sure.
It's true. And it's funny when I remember I used to work at the radio station in Red Deer, and my shift was 5 to 8. And I believe the ITV games on Wednesday started at 7:30. And I used to bet with my roommate, Ron Clark, what the score would be because I'd get home and whoever was wrong or farthest away had to do the dishes. And I would say 3-1, and sometimes I'd undershoot what the Oilers would do in the first period. Uh-huh. They were that good.
Yeah, well, I'm older than you, so I remember the days when the games were joined in progress. And they'd come on, it used to be even an hour after puck drop. But then by the time I was watching in the early to mid-60s, half hour after puck drop, the TV broadcast, and we'd just be all pins and needles, what's the score, and sometimes they'd tell you it'd even be in progress as the broadcast started, and Bill Hewitt or Danny Galvan would have to sort of interslice, and the score is, but it was not very often 3-1, but if you'd done the same thing for the 80s Oilers, geez, it could have been anything, really.
Why didn't you just go on the internet, Bruce?
Well, the dial-up modem was real slow in those days.
Yeah, like about 10 years early for even the military. Bruce, thanks for this. Enjoy the game tonight. You're a gentleman.